Go ahead, give me some talk. All
right, I feel like this might get me fired.
All right, well, here, I'll do it. So we're here with Alyssa Williams. She is one of the people that make Spectrum Magazine happen. You know, she is the online content editor and creator and producer and everything, you know. So tell us a little bit more about yourself. Tell us your name, where you're from, and what's your favorite Adventist magazine outside of Spectrum?
So my name is Alyssa Williams, and I am the managing editor of Spectrum Magazine. Born and raised at Andrews University. I actually lived on campus for most of my life, and now I live nearby Andrews. My favorite Adventist magazine outside of Spectrum, probably Adventist Journey. I really like that magazine, and it's fairly new from the NAD, but it's pretty great.
Okay. So tell me, what is Spectrum and how did it start and how did you get involved with it?
So Spectrum started back in the 1960s, actually. So it's been around for over 50 years. And the way that it started was there was a group of Adventists who were graduate students at various universities, like Harvard, Columbia, all those different places. And they were really missing the connections that they had formed in Adventist undergrad. And they were looking for that community again. And they were like, you know, we should start, number one, we should start holding like forum meetings and talk about like the really big issues that are happening in the world, in the church, and be able to connect in that way. And then along with that, they wanted to start a publication that could go out for people to read, and that's Spectrum. So yeah, 1967 is when this idea really came to fruition. And the guy who started it, his name is Roy Branson. He was actually the son of a General Conference president. And when he started kind of bouncing this idea around off of other people, the church was really excited about it initially. And he had a lot of support, especially from the NAD president at the time was Neil Wilson, before he became GC president. And he was all about this. And at an annual council in 1967, they actually voted on Spectrum and Adventist Forum, which is the organization that publishes Spectrum, and said, this is great. This is this fantastic addition to the church and conversation in the church. We love it. So we are officially church endorsed back in 1967.
So 1967 happens. They record the minutes, right? And they approve this. The Adventist Forum and Spectrum Magazine are going to be part of the NAD projects and releases?
Well, all along, we've always been independent. And so it's not so much that, you know, we were part of them officially. It's just that they recognized, hey, you're existing. We love it. We think it's a great idea. And fairly early on in that process, they started, the GC started kind of pushing and being like, hey, you know, I think we're maybe a little concerned about some of the topics you're exploring right off the bat. And so, you know, I think it would be great if we could be, you know, have some GC members on your board and, you know, just to kind of know what's coming down the pipeline. And, you know, the current board members talked about it and they were like, you know, no, thank you. I don't think that's a good idea. You know, we want to be fully independent. We appreciate your support as we got started. But in order to kind of maintain the integrity of the organization and be able to really discuss the issues in a transparent, open way, we think we need to maintain that separation. And so we've always been independent. We've always been fully donor supported. We're a nonprofit organization. And so, yeah, we've survived for over 50 years now just because of the readers, which is a really cool thing.
Right. So tell me a little bit more about the history of Spectrum. So they become at least recognized by the NAD. What happens after that when these, I don't know what the topics were, but these edgy topics, it seems to me, although that's not saying much because for the General Conference, you know, talking about maybe a tan suit that can be edgy, you know, and remember in the Obama years, I guess, here. But tell me a little bit more, like, what were some of those stories that kind of started to create this discomfort around? Sure. And tell me what happened since then.
Yeah, so one thing to keep in mind is, you know, like I said, this group that started Spectrum primarily with Roy Branson as the creator, the innovator of it, you know, they're graduate students, and you think about what was happening in the 1960s. And so you have, you know, a lot of racial tension, especially. And Roy Branson is somebody who, you know, was looking at what was happening in the world. And then he was looking at his church that he knew and loved and was born and raised in. He was like, the church isn't talking about all of this. You know, there's this conflict in the United States. There's conflict in the world. Why is my church silent on these really important issues? You know, Roy Branson is someone, he marched with Martin Luther King Jr. at Selma. And so, you know, across the bridge. And this is, you know, so for him, these issues were intricately tied to, you know, the message of the church and what the church should be about. So those very first issues of Spectrum, if you look back in our archives, which are free online, you know, the first issues were exploring things like racial tension in the church, the history of regional conferences, and also things like creation and evolution, and, you know, these topics that, you know, the church has, especially when it comes to creation and evolution, the church has very set opinions on it, and it's not really open for debate. So, you know, when you're suddenly talking about, and you're questioning, or I shouldn't say questioning, you're opening up the conversation to why regional conferences were necessary, why they were created, and then you're talking about these other things like science and faith and women in the church, LGBT, the LGBT community was talked about very early on in Spectrum and has continued to be a focus. These are things that the General Conference very quickly were like, hey, we said we liked the idea of conversation, but we didn't really mean that.
So what did they mean?
I think,
or do you think, at least you can not speak for them,
yeah,
but what,
you know,
what do you think as you look back?
You know, I don't know exactly what the General Conference thought this was going to be. I think that they, from the outside looking in, saw the son of a General Conference president and somebody who had a degree from the seminary. You know, Roy Branson was a seminarian. He taught at the seminary for a while. You know, and they said, this is somebody who is going to, you know, affirm the church at every point. And like, I never had the opportunity to meet Roy Branson before he died, but I mean, this is a man who loved the church. But because he loved the church, he also wasn't afraid to challenge it. And I think that that's a really important thing to keep in mind about Spectrum in general, is the love that the people involved in Spectrum have for the church, but that doesn't mean blind acceptance of everything.
We appreciate you listening to this episode. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Right. I haven't read all the articles all the way back to the 1960s, but I have read some in the more recent decades. And it seems to me that Spectrum has shifted in their approach. You know, I think it used to be a little bit more opinion or editorials, you know, maybe with some factual information and, you know, of course, important and relevant data that was necessary to discuss, but from the point of view of the individual, not necessarily from the point of view of a neutral source of news, such as, let's say, Associated Press, you know, for a comparison on the spectrum of the spectrum of newspapers or, you know, news organizations in the United States. But now it seems that Spectrum is taking a little bit of a shift with more reporting, right? Not necessarily like using judgment and values attached to that reporting, but just strictly reporting. When was that shift imagined and envisioned?
Yeah, so I think when Spectrum started, and definitely when, as Roy Branson was editor for many, many years, the focus was on, you know, these theological issues, social justice issues, and we continue to have that as a main part of our focus with, you know, we have a very robust opinion section. But I think with the advent of the internet, came the need for more independent Adventist journalism and news reporting. And, you know, it was, we got, you know, Spectrum has been a quarterly print journal for 50 years. And it was about, I think, in the year 2000 or so that we added a blog component, back when blogs were like the new thing and really innovative. We had a blog, and the blog kind of evolved into a fully formed website. And Bonnie Dwyer, who is the editor of Spectrum, executive director of Adventist Forum, you know, her background's in journalism. She is a journalist by training, that's what her degree is in. And she took over from Roy Branson about 20 years ago or so. And I think that would probably be the point at which more news reporting was introduced to accompany the more in-depth, heavy-hitting theological or social pieces. And so, yeah, she's really kind of brought that component in. We attend as many, conferences, Adventist conferences that are going on, especially the big ones like Annual Council just got done, General Conference Session coming up, and things like that.
You talked about the value of Spectrum as an independent publisher and organization that focuses on bringing relevant data and facts to the story. But you also talked about Spectrum, and I think this is going to be our tagline for the episode. I love the church, but I challenge it. Talk to me a little bit more about that specific component. What does it mean to challenge the organizational structure of the church and from the Spectrum point of view, and how are we making sure that it doesn't become a divisive point or a point of, bashing the organization that we like love at the same time? What's the difference between challenge and bashing something?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a great question. And I think the lines between those two do get blurry, especially in Adventism, because I think in Adventism, we often have this idea that, it's preached from the time you're a young kid going to Adventist schools that we have the truth. And so I think when an organization believes that it has the truth, there's this idea that the truth is stagnant, that it never changes. But, even Ellen White spoke to the idea of present truth and growing in our understanding of what truth is. And I think, but that's scary, right? We want to have, we want to know this is how it is. This is exactly what we want. We need to do, have a checklist we can check off, of everything that we need to accomplish in order to be right with God. And that's, I think, just human nature to want a list of action items that we can check off and say, yep, my work here is done. But, I think for a church to be relevant, whether it was back in Jesus' time or today, we have to really be about people and community building. And I think if we feel like we have the church and if we feel like we have the truth, we start to be very internal focused at times instead of externally focused on what we can do for other people. We feel like they have to come to us to learn instead of what we can learn from them. And so a lot of times, I feel like you look at things that the church is doing and there might be a better way or a different way to do something. And so just having those conversations of what if we did something like this instead, that feels sometimes very revolutionary and very divisive, even though really at the end of the day, it's just a conversation of something that might be done better or differently.
Tell me a little bit more about how did you get involved with Spectrum and what motivated you to say, hey, you know what? I want to be the editor of online content. What was it that you were like, I want to be involved in this space of Adventism?
Yeah, so I've been involved in different capacities with Spectrum for about 6 years. And, 7 years ago, I didn't even really know what Spectrum was. I don't think I'd ever really heard of it. And I wasn't really involved with the church at that point in my life. So I actually had a friend who was working for Spectrum at the time reach out and you know, ask if I wanted to write an article for Spectrum, and I had to like look it up and see what it was. I kind of just had this assumption that it was just an Adventist publication like any other, and that wasn't really something that I felt like I wanted to be involved with or that I, you know, should be involved with. And when I started reading some of the articles on the website, I was really surprised because all of a sudden I was seeing this, you know, this kind of world open up of people who were asking the same questions that I felt like I'd been asking my whole life. And I had never encountered anyone in person that I felt like really was asking those questions or felt comfortable asking them out loud. And here's this whole community doing that. And so I wrote a couple articles. And then I ended up becoming spirituality editor for a few years. And then when the managing editor at that time in like 2017 stepped down, they asked me to replace him. And so it's just kind of been this progression of my involvement with Spectrum.
Tell me about a story that you said, this is why I work for Spectrum. Like, you know, this is the reason why, like, I love what we do. And like, tell me about an article or something that you were like, wow, I am happy that we published that. I am happy that we did that. And I'm proud of what we did. And it changed a little bit of my life.
Wow. So I don't know that I could think of like a specific article off the top of my head, but one of the things that happened at GC Session 2015 that has really stuck with me. So I had never met anyone else from the Spectrum team before in person, but we all gathered together in San Antonio to report on the sessions and stuff. And I don't remember if it was the first day or at what point during, it was fairly early on during the business sessions when they opened up. We found out that the GC was only planning to live stream the worship services in the evenings. They weren't planning to do any sort of live stream of the business sessions. And, you know, for me, being a millennial, and there were several other millennials on our team, we're going, wait a minute, people need to know, like, the business sessions are open to the public. Everybody should be able to see these. And that's not okay that people aren't going to be able to be actively involved in the business of their church. And so one of my colleagues at Spectrum just started like periscoping the sessions. And that didn't really go over very well with the people in charge of the media, of the press. And, you know, but we had a right to do that because they are open sessions and the public has a right to know. So there ended up being this huge conversation, and the GC decided, you know what, we're going to go ahead and we're going to live stream ourselves. And they have ever since. They live streamed the session. They live stream every annual council and spring meeting since then. And that's really cool to be able to look back and say, hey, like, we had a part in just helping the church be a little more transparent so that just regular Adventists sitting at home can know what's being decided on their behalf. And, you know, I think you saw at 2015, like, so many millennials, and I mean people of all generations, were engaged on Twitter. You know, everyone was live tweeting and live streaming. And what me and our intern at the time would do is we would do like a tweeting the meeting roundup every single night about just what people were saying, because there was this perception at the time, and I think it continues to be a perception, that millennials are disengaged, they don't care, and oh, most of them have left anyway. And we wanted to showcase that was not true at all. Like, we're here, we're listening, we're paying attention, and we want a seat at the table. And so that's kind of just a part of what made me really excited about the church.
Hope you're enjoying our discussion. We'll be right back after this ad break. Awesome. One more question, and we're about to close. You should see her face. She's like, finally, yes. Tell me about one of the biggest challenges that you're having right now at Spectrum. And that you feel like, man, like, you know, this is something that's disappointing. We talked about something positive and something that's like, this is really disappointing. And I hope that we get over this, but, you know.
Like, something disappointing with Spectrum specifically?
Or that Spectrum is challenged with when interacting with the church. Because, I mean, like, you, I know a little bit more about Spectrum now because of you. Thank you. But it used to be official. Then it kind of fell a little bit into like not official, but in the sense of like the conversation was a little bit strained. You know, do you think that we're healing again, or do you think that it's strained? And what if it's still strained, why is that?
Yeah, well, so just, I mean, Spectrum has never been an official publication. We were just recognized as, you know, so, but yeah, you're right. You know, because even Neil Wilson, who was a very early supporter of Spectrum, just like a couple decades later in the 80s, spoke very harshly against it and said it was tearing apart the church. So we've kind of had ebbs and flows with church administration when it comes to Spectrum. And I think right now would be one of those challenging times. You know, I don't know that Ted Wilson has ever said the name Spectrum out loud in public, but he has certainly spoken like around us to, you know, things like, oh, well, you know, this document leaked online. And well, it was something that we published. And so we know what he's referring to. And so I think, you know, this is the only GC administration that I've known while I've been involved with Spectrum. You know, my boss, Bonnie Dwyer, you know, she has gone through several church administrations during her involvement with Spectrum. And you know, my understanding is like Jan Paulson was, you know, always very friendly, made sure we felt welcome in the General Conference building. That's not really how it feels to walk in. I mean, I remember my very first time coming to the General Conference building ever was to report on a spring meeting. I think I'd been managing editor for like a month at that point. And somebody who works in the General Conference came up to the press table to where me and Bonnie were sitting and just started like yelling like trash, who let the trash into the building? You know, your organization is just absolute trash and you shouldn't be allowed in here, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, he just went on for a while and like business session was like in progress. And so some of the delegates in the back rows were like turning around, like looking at us. And it was like just intense. And there were a couple other things that happened there. And then of course, you know, at GC session 2015 that had happened a couple of years before that. And it's disappointing that, you know, that the church doesn't always, that the church doesn't seem to recognize the importance of having transparency in an independent press and being challenged on occasion, that they are so threatened by that, or certain administrators are threatened by that. So that's one challenge.
What would you like to see? Last question, I promise. What would you like to see in the future of Adventism? How can we remain united, not necessarily uniform, but united in mission and, you know, and respect that we respect each other despite our differences?
Yeah, and so, well, one thing that you and I have talked about before is, you know, one thing that a lot of people I think don't know but would be surprised by is, you know, at each of these official meetings, you know, we usually get seated, Spectrum usually gets seated next to Fulcrum 7. And, you know, certain people have very strong opinions about each of our organizations. And so one thing that I always try to keep in mind, and I've said this directly to one of the gentlemen who helps with Fulcrum 7, and I've said it publicly before, but I think the most important thing we need to keep in mind is just that we all love the church and we all have different ideas for how we wish the church would be presently, how we hope the church will be in the future. But at the end of the day, we love the church, we love God. And if we could just approach each other from that point, I think we'd stop seeing each other as enemies and we'd start seeing each other as having that shared goal of like, you know, we want what's best for the church. And it's okay if we disagree on what that looks like, but let's recognize how much we all care about the future of it.
That's awesome. That's great. It's our tradition to give the final word to our guest. So you have the time to say whatever you want. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, just thank you for the opportunity to come on here and talk about Spectrum. I think it's, you know, for me personally, it's a fantastic community. It's honestly, Spectrum is the only reason I'm still in the church. And I think there are some other people who feel that way as well. I hear from people every day who are like either saying that Spectrum is why they're still hanging on, or even though they've left, they still come to Spectrum to know what's happening in a church that they still feel a lot of love for, even if they're not involved. So yeah, I think it's a great community, not without its challenges as well, but I appreciate the opportunity to talk more about it.
You've been listening to Disruptive Adventism. We hope that today's topic helped you to think and change something about your practices, about your faith, about your Adventism. If you want to subscribe, make sure to go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcast. We'll be there. And make sure to give us a review if you like what you're listening to. If you want to support, make sure to go to patreon.com/disruptiveadventism. It helps us pay our bills and produce the content that you're listening to. And if you want to socialize, make sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram or on Twitter, and hit us up whenever you need anything. We'll be there to support you. Thank you for listening today. We hope you join us next time. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.